I said, how many feel the resurrection power here today? I'm going to ask you again, how many feel the resurrection power here today? Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We praise you, Lord, we praise you, we praise you. Here's what it says in Hebrews, the 10th chapter. It says, you have need of patience. How many have need of patience today? That's the Apostle Paul talking. He said, you have need of patience. And here's the reason that you have need of patience, because in your patience you possess your soul.
Amen.
In your patience you possess your soul. People need a soul healing today.
Amen.
They need healing in their soul. They call it an attitude adjustment.
Yep.
You go to the chiropractor and he gives you an adjustment. Well, the Lord gives you an attitude adjustment because you need healing in your patience. You possess your attitude. That's what your soul is. Soul has to do with attitude. And people that do not have patience are sick in their soul because they give up. They lose their hope in life. Apostle Paul said there are three things we should have. Faith, hope, and soul. Faith is spirit. Hope is your emotion. Hope is your soul. He says there's three things we should possess, and that's faith, hope, and charity. Hope has to do with your emotions. When you give up hope, you're ready to die. Do you know when the Lord gave Elijah the greatest miracle? Not when he was caught away to heaven, but when he was at his lowest point. Some of you didn't hear me. I said, when you are at your lowest point is when you will receive your greatest miracle. You see, because when God chooses you, he doesn't give up on you. Elijah was discouraged. He needed healing in his soul. He went out under a juniper tree and he said, Lord, I'm ready to die. But God sent healing for his soul. And you know what the Lord did? He sent an angel to cook for him. At his lowest point, when he needed the greatest miracle, not when he was caught away. Some think we get our greatest miracle when we're at that high point in life. And we can just get high in the Lord, we'll receive our greatest miracle. No, it's when at your lowest point. When the Lord is there to touch you in your patience, possess ye your soul. And at Elijah's lowest point, when he said, Lord, I'm ready to give up. I'm ready to die. That's when the Lord comes by, and that's when he strengthens you.
Amen.
It was when Peter was in jail. He was at his lowest point because in the morning, they were going to cut his head off. And you know what Peter was doing? Sleeping. Some of you, you can't sleep at night. You worry about a bill. How would you feel if you're going to have your head cut off in the morning?
My Lord.
And Peter was sound asleep. And the Lord comes and slaps Peter on the side. An angel comes, slaps him on the side. And Peter arises. Shackles drop off. And the guards were still sleeping. Got news for you, church. I said there are those that are still going to be sleeping right in the midst of a miracle. right in the midst of a miracle, there will be those that will still be sleeping. But when the Lord touched Peter, he arose, he followed the angels, and one thing I like about it, even the doors of the prison opened on their own accord. Nobody was there with a key. But it says the doors were opened. I got good news for you. I see an open door.
Amen. Yes.
Before God's people. And God says, when I open the door, nobody is going to shut the door on you.
Amen.
Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I said, some of you, you've had some doors shut on you in life. But no longer are the doors going to be shut on you. Because God said, at your lowest point, Elijah, I've opened the door for you. You're at your lowest point, but I've given you an open door. I'm letting you know that I'm with you, and I am going to bless you.
Yes.
And he went in the strength of the food that the angels fed him 40 days and 40 nights. I got good news for you. God is going to give his people supernatural strength. And if there ever was a day we needed it, it's in this hour we are living in. There's an oppression of the enemy.
Yes.
There is a spiritual bondage.
Yes.
The shackles of bondage are going to have to fall off.
Yes.
Of God's people. The
yes.
Oppression that is in the world. People giving up hope. People saying, what's the reason to vote? We can change things. You're right. You can change things. But when the Lord opens the door, I said, no devil in hell is going to shut the door on you. Oh, hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I feel it here today. I feel it here today. It says the angel of the Lord came on the scene in Acts 12:7. A light shone in the prison. Get ready, church. The Lord knows how to turn the lights on.
Amen.
And when the Lord turns the light on, you don't walk in darkness anymore. He smote Peter on the side, raised him up and said, arise quickly. And his chains fell off his hands. And the angel said unto him, gird thyself, put on your sandals. And he did. And he said unto him, cast thy garment upon thee and follow me. And he went out and he followed him, and he knew not whether it was true, which was done by the angel. He thought he was having a dream. This isn't going to be a dream.
Nope.
Or this isn't going to be a vision. This is going to be reality.
Amen.
Amen. He didn't know what was happening. He said, this ain't never happened before. He said, how can this be possible? But you see, at your lowest hour, God is going to make the impossible possible. You're going to question, you're going to say, Lord, how can this be? But you just keep on following the Lord. The angel said, just follow me. He went out and he followed him. Oh, hallelujah.
Amen.
Kevin Reed, when this took place, read when this took place. In Acts, the 12th chapter, start with the 4th verse. What does it say?
It says that Herod imprisoned Peter, placing him under the guard of 16 soldiers. Herod's intention was to deliver Peter to the Jews for execution after the Passover.
After Easter. Are we still living in the Easter season?
Yes, we are.
After Easter. After the Passover. He was going to deliver Peter. You see, at the highest point, I said this past week, I said, if people came to church with the same expectancy that they come on Easter, that they come on Christmas and on Thanksgiving and New Year's, big night for God's people. People come out rejoicing, come out believing God. I said, if we lived in that expectancy, as we live on these special occasion days like Easter, and Herod was going to deliver Peter right after the Passover. Isn't that the way the devil works? I said, right after the highest time, he said, I'm going to see to it. I'm not going to do it during the Passover, but right after, we're going to deliver Peter. But the Lord said, no. He said, I am going to deliver Peter. He's not going to be subject to death because this season is Easter resurrection time. We're still living in the Easter season. It is not a day, it's a season. Some people think it's a day. So what happened, Kevin?
But earnest prayer was going up to God from the church for his safety all the time he was in prison. The night before he was to be executed, he was asleep. Double chained between two soldiers.
Double chained between two soldiers. Soldiers. What happened, Kevin?
With others standing guard before the prison gate, when suddenly...
Oh, get ready, church. At your lowest point, two guards, one on each side, sleeping there, he's in the middle, chained, but God said, I am going to open the door at his lowest hour. At his lowest hour, I am going to perform a miracle for Peter. When the children of Israel came out of Egypt, Miriam gets a tambourine. Everything was high. She starts beating on the tambourine. She says, ladies, follow me. And she starts singing, the horse and his rider hath he thrown into the seas. Exodus the 15th chapter, Kevin?
Yes, it is.
The horse and his rider says, ladies, we're going to have a song of victory. It's something in your heart. I'm going to get to something here now. I'm going to get to something. They're having a shouting time in the praise of the Lord. But you see, the apostle Paul said, you have need of patience. You have need of patience. And this is what the children of Israel lacked. They lacked patience in their life. What happened, Kevin, when they crossed the Red Sea? What did Miriam do?
It says in the 21st verse of Exodus 15 that Miriam sang this song.
Go ahead.
Sing to the Lord.
Sing to who?
The Lord.
How many know that when you sing, you're singing to the Lord? Sing to the Lord what?
For he has triumphed gloriously.
You see why the birds sing in a minor key? Because they don't have the major key yet. You see, the birds all sing in minor keys. They are waiting for deliverance.
Amen.
They're waiting waiting for deliverance. That's why they sing in a minor key. Whenever you hear someone singing in a minor key, they're waiting for deliverance. Barry, play something up here in the minor key for us. Get on the piano here, Barry. Play something in the minor key. Here's the cry for deliverance when you hear the minor key. Now, add some major keys into that. You see, when you're delivered, you got the whole song. Birds say, oh, how beautiful birds sing. But birds are only singing in the minor key. But people don't hear that. They don't understand. They don't understand. But when God sets you free, I said, when he opens the door, he puts the song of victory in your life. Hallelujah. Miriam began to sing. She said, ladies, the horse and this rider has God thrown in the sea. Hallelujah. And many times we say, oh, how beautiful birds sing. Do birds sing in major keys, Barry?
They don't sing in any keys. They just sing
minor keys. Just chirping in the minor key. They don't have a major key. And people say, oh, how beautiful the birds sing. But you listen closely to them. There's only one key they sing, and that's the minor key. It's not the major. Amen. There's not that fullness that should be there. But you hear the difference here when you mix the major with the minor. You get a completion. And this is what Miriam said. Said, we've got victory here. And she said, we are going to praise the Lord. But we're not finished. We're not finished here. Just a minute. Read on, Kevin. What happened?
The horse and the rider have been drowned in the sea. And then Moses led the people of Israel on from the Red Sea. And they moved out into the wilderness of Shur. And were there 3 days.
3 days. Now listen. After you sing your song of victory, you're going to get to your low point. Because now they came up to the water and the water was bitter. What God is trying to show you. That when you leave this place, you face bitterness out there.
Amen.
We can come and we can sing, oh, the horse and his rider. And we can shout the songs of victory. And everybody was praising the Lord. But I'm here to tell you, when you leave this place, you're going to face bitterness outside. Didn't they just have a shouting time like we had this morning, Kevin?
Yes, they did.
Miriam was beating a tambourine.
Yes, let all the women with the tambourine.
All the women were shouting.
Yes.
They were having church and praising the Lord.
Yes.
Now, what happened, Kevin?
Now they went out into the wilderness.
Uh-huh.
And they were there 3 days without water.
When you get outside, you're in the wilderness. You don't have to go out into a desert, honey. I said, you just walk out these doors, you're going to face the wilderness. Like, what's happening? What's going on in life? Where is reality? You know what the Lord is looking for in people? He said, listen to this. For you have need of patience that after you've done the will of God, you know what the will of God is? Faithfulness. Dependable. People are all looking for the will of God for their life. The will of God is faithfulness. For you have need of patience, in Hebrews 10:36, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise.
Yes, amen.
What's the will of God? Everybody's looking for the word. The word of faith. Maybe I missed it somewhere. No, God is just looking for you to be faithful. I said, and if you're faithful, the will of God is being faithful. If you're faithful, he said, you will receive the promise. Listen to what happened now when they came up to the waters that were bitter. What took place, Kevin?
They couldn't drink the water because it was bitter. And the people turned against Moses.
They did what?
They turned against Moses.
1 minute they're shouting, another minute they're fighting.
Help me, Jesus.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
But this is what happens when bitterness arrives in people's life. When bitterness takes over, turn and argue and fight, and no joy. And now they're fighting with Moses. And what happened, Kevin?
Must we die of thirst?
Must we die of thirst? Go ahead.
They demanded. And Moses pleaded with the Lord to help them. And the Lord showed him a tree to throw into the water.
You know what that tree was? That tree represents the cross.
Amen.
That Jesus was crucified on.
That's right.
It was wood. It was a tree. And he showed him the tree, Kevin?
The Lord showed him a tree.
And what happened?
To throw into the water, and the water became sweet.
Now, I want to show you something. I want to show you something. Threw it into the water. They didn't do anything about it. Nothing that they did could change the bitterness. Mm-mm. Whatever you try in life is not going to change the situation. It is not going to change a situation.
Nope.
But it said when the tree was cast into the waters, you see, your struggling is over if you keep your eyes on Jesus. Oh, I'm drunk here today. I said, your struggling is over if you learn to keep your eyes on Jesus. When Peter jumped out of the boat, some say, well, I'll have faith and I'll jump. Well, you can jump, but there's still going to be a storm. Mm-hmm. There's still going to be a storm. The storm didn't cease when Peter jumped out of the boat. The storm was raging. But if Peter would have kept his eyes on Jesus, it wouldn't have mattered about the storm. But you see, at his lowest point, when fear took over, the Lord reached down and he picked him up. Can you say hallelujah? I said, in your patience, possess your soul. But Lord, I've tried everything. I jumped out of the boat. I'm acting in faith. But Lord, I'm going under. I said, Jesus will be there to pick you up.
Amen.
I said, Jesus, he'll be there. He'll be there to pick you up. Hallelujah. I said, I feel it here today. That's where the Lord comes. He comes to you at your lowest point in life to let you know, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Elijah said, Lord, I want to die. I'm tired of fighting with people. They don't want to believe. They won't change. Miracles don't change them. Nothing is changing them. I'm ready to die. God sends an angel. Hallelujah. At his lowest point, he says, Elijah, amen, get ready. I'm going to give you supernatural strength, and you're going to continue on. Get ready, church. Supernatural strength is coming to the church.
Yes.
Not by might, nor by power, but by my what?
Spirit.
By my what?
Spirit.
By what?
Spirit.
By what?
Spirit,
Spirit saith the Lord. Resurrection power dwelling inside of me. So Moses looked at the tree, Kevin.
That's right. And he threw it into the water.
He threw it in, and then what?
The water became sweet.
Water sweet. I'm telling you, there's bitterness out there.
Amen.
But in the midst of your bitterness, I said the bitter waters will be sweet. I said, God will turn things around in your life.